Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio with Miss Tara and Janelle, Beth and myself, Sandy, and we've been discussing Luke 12, 1 through 12, and how Jesus is encouraging his disciples and teaching them. And we're going to talk about some scriptures right now that tell us about the secrets that people will one day, the hearts will be revealed.
You know, scripture is really clear about that. And this passage in Luke 12, we're just blessed by, this passage is so powerful. I don't even think we realize how powerful it is. And so I'll retell the passage again, telling from the Message translation. And it's just, I don't know. The more I hear it, the more God speaks to me on things that I'm learning from our Lord. Okay, we have to understand the crowds were just totally surrounding Jesus and the disciples. There were men and women and children. They were in the thousands, literally toe-to-toe. And Jesus just kept his eyes on the disciples. And his concern was for them. And he said, watch yourselves. Do not be contaminated of the yeast of the Pharisees. And he says, you can't keep your true self hidden forever. Before long, it's going to be exposed. You can't hide behind those religious masks. Eventually, the mask is going to slip. He turned and he looked at the disciples and he said, you can't whisper one thing in private and go and shout something else in public from the rooftops. Because the day will come when that which is whispered in private will be known all over town. I'm speaking to you, my friends, he says. Don't be bluffed by the threats of these religious bullies. Don't allow them to silence you. Truly, I understand that you fear that they can kill you. But what can they do if they do that? There's nothing they can do to your soul or the core of your being. You need to fear God. Fear him because he's the one that can kill your body and your soul. What's the price, he said, of two little sparrows? Just a little bit of change. And yet, he never overlooks them. How much more so with you? He pays great attention to you, right down to the detail of knowing how many hairs are on your head. It doesn't matter if there are a million sparrows. He cares for them. He cares for you. I want you to stand up. He says, if you stand up for me, I will stand up for you before God and the angels. If you pretend that you do not know me, do you think I'm going to defend you before God and the angels? He said, you might badmouth me out of ignorance. I can overlook that. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that cannot be overlooked. When you are dragged into the meeting places before the police and the judges and in the courts, don't be afraid of what you're going to say. The right words will be there because the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words that you will need when you need to speak. May God honor the telling of his word. Okay, so last time we were looking at and we asked ourselves the question, so why do we wear our masks? I really just want to catch in on that and remind us through Scripture how Scripture tells us multiple times that our hearts will be revealed. And so Janelle's going to read for us Romans 2:15. Let's look at that one real quickly. And Romans 2:15.
Yeah, okay. Romans 2:15 says, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them.
That's so good. Okay, I was in a situation recently, and I was talking to somebody that had gotten themselves into just a dirty mess, just the pit of sin, just bad. And I asked the person, I said, how's your conscience when you're with your family and your friends? And the person was just like, I'm just laden with guilt. Like, I can't get this off of me. And so I shared that I know that. I know what it's like to have been in the pit of despair because of sin. But I also know that now that I am not walking in habitual, intentional sin, I can stand in a crowd of people. I can sit with my family. I can interact. And I have no fear of something being caught or being known because my conscience is clear. And because my conscience is clear, I'm at peace. I'm at peace with people. I'm at peace in my interactions because I have nothing to be afraid of. And I'm like, do you want that? And the person's like, well, of course. And this is always where I go to Acts 3:19. Maybe, Sandy, could you look that up? This is such a good verse. And this is a verse I visit, I think, probably almost daily in my counseling with people. And but Acts 3:19, it actually tells us the promise we have of getting our conscience cleared. And the way we clear our conscience is through what this verse tells us. So, Sandy, go ahead and read it to us. I can quote it directly, but I'd rather us just read it straight from Scripture.
Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
And then I think it says, and you will be given
Christ. Verse 10 says, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus.
Yeah. All right. That's repentance, good. Turning to God, gives us refreshment.
It does.
Because it's a clearing of our conscience. So when we wear our masks, our conscience will never be clear because we're living in falsehood. We are living in a lie. The only way that we can actually know the purity of a clear conscience is to be truthful, to be real, to be raw, to be that way with God and to be that way with each other. And it's just such a delight. I don't know that we know what to do when we are with people that are that way, because it's not socially acceptable in most situations when somebody is honest. And so I love it. And so this verse just blesses me on that. Now let's take the next one. Let's do the 1 Corinthians 4:5.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 4:5. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due.
And there are other verses that we could go to just as easily that says that he will give according to how you, each man according to what he has done. You know,
I didn't realize this until I just read that. I read it obviously before, but do you notice that it says then God will give to each whatever praise is due? He keeps it positive. It doesn't go negative. Cause, I mean, obviously he knows there's going to be good and bad, but it's only, I just love that.
And that is because he dealt with the sin at the cross.
Yep.
The sin's not the issue for those that are believers in what Jesus has done on the cross for them. That's not the issue because we have been forgiven. We have been cleansed and we know refreshment. So then it's praise of how we've served him. I love that. It is beautiful. It is a beautiful thing. So thinking through those verses, how does that impact what we're talking about with the masks? Clear consciences, we're blessed on what he, what we've done, the praises of his gifts of what we have. So it's, why would we want to wear them?
It makes me think that we can't be praised for the qualities that we actually have if all we're portraying is the qualities that we don't. If we're putting on this mask of saying, this is who I am, when really we don't have any of those qualities, we don't possess those things that we put on as a covering, then no one can really know who we are or love us for who we are because they don't know us. All they see is this mask that we put on. And God won't praise our masks. He praises what we actually do, and our actions are our genuine hearts. And if we don't ever show that, then there's nothing to praise.
That's good. That's good. That's really good. That's really good. That made me think. I think it was Matt Chandler I heard once say in a sermon, he said that you cannot be fully known if you have 0.001 that you're holding back.
0.001. That's interesting.
You know, that if you have that, just that little itty-bitty piece that you're keeping from people, you can't be known.
And we do that. We keep pieces of ourselves from people.
I know. Yep. I know. I had a situation once where a person came in and they were wanting to share with me. They were told they had to share with me. And I could tell that the person was afraid. And in fact, I actually hear this a lot. You're terrifying. and the person actually said that to me like many, many times later, you know, after we had met once, you know, that you're just terrifying. And we both laughed. And but what it was is because of the masks.
Yeah.
The masks had to come down. And I just laid it out with this person. Like, I'm like, all right, this is what I did. Mm-hmm. And this is what that sin caused me.
Well, I think that is the important thing. Your experiences are what teach others. Because you've gone through it, you can't address it if you haven't gone through it.
And, well, I think we can scripturally, well, we can, but I think that our empathy is there. Otherwise, I think so. Because God does call us to minister to people in contexts that may not be the same as ours, but I do think that it helps people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It opens them, their heart up, too, that, okay, they've been there. They understand.
Yeah.
And keeps them out of that isolation.
And this is where this
or that fear.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Right. But we shouldn't do that to justify to sin, because is what some people would do.
Uh-uh.
And but
no, not at all.
This person did say to me, Sandy, wow, I guess knowing that you've sinned makes me not so afraid to
you're not
talk
as terrifying.
To you about, right, about my sin. And so all of a sudden, what the mask they had given me disappeared.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't a mask I had on. But it was a mask they put on me.
That's what I mean. It opened it up.
Right. And that's just another example of how our consciences get messed up when we are hiding. Because what I have found is that when I am in sin against somebody, when I've had a spirit of judgment, a spirit of gossip, a spirit of, you know, something along that lines, when I am around that person, I am not comfortable with that person. And it's the fear of being caught.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay? A fear of that they're going to see the truth of what was in me. It has nothing to do with that person. It has to do with the sin of my own heart.
Right.
The sin of my own heart.
I remember somebody telling me at one of my Bible studies, I can't remember which one, it doesn't matter, but they said, you know, they got to the point where they would sit in a room, and if they thought they were going to say something about somebody that wasn't there, they thought, I would just visualize that person in the room. Would I say it if that person was there?
Oh, that's
and, you
good.
Know, and that, yeah, it is so good. Oh, no, it was Haley. But that's
good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
I used to think about that a lot. I need to think about it a lot more.
That's a good one. That's very good. Yeah. All right, so let's look at the fears then. We know we put our mask on because we fear man. And so, Sandy, what does Proverbs 29:23 in the Message say?
This is from the Message. A fear of human opinion disables, and trusting in God protects you from that.
Have you ever been disabled because of a fear of somebody?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's petrifying. There's nothing worse.
There is nothing worse.
I'm getting more and more where I'm willing to speak on what my fears are. Like, I have a situation of something that's happened recently, and I just went and I said, this is my fear. I need you to guard my heart in this. Mm. And the person was so humble. It made me want to cry. Like, if somebody tells me they're afraid of something and they need me to guard their heart, I'm going to protect them if the person's a legit person. And I don't know very many people that would attack that within the Christian world. Now, granted, outside of Christendom, it may be different. But we're going to protect it if somebody's willing to be real. Mm. So Ed Welch is a counselor, and he came up with these seven signs that show that we're afraid of people. And I laughed at every single one of these at a different time in my life are true to my life. Did you have something, Beth?
No, I'm just interested to hear this.
Okay.
One is that we're easily embarrassed in a group with people, our interactions, that we get easily embarrassed by things that are said or done, you know, so we're automatically putting way too much power in people. Mm. We'll struggle with indecisions, the second one. Can't make a decision because we're afraid what people are going to think. What are they going to do if I say, no, it needs to be this? You know, we have to draw the line. Drawing the line's not easy sometimes because then we're dealing with you're intolerant, you're a judge, or you're, you know. And so Christians, we receive a lot of attack. You're a people pleaser, number three. I'll do whatever I have to do to please the people. It doesn't matter what it does to me or to anybody else for that matter, if it's the people that I want to please. And I have had people through the years that I've done ministry that this is why they did drugs. Mm. It's why they did sex. It's why robbed stores. Mm-hmm. I've stolen. I mean, you name it. I think that every sin that could possibly be, I've had somebody confess to me that you could imagine because of the wanting to please the people that they were
not
with.
Not wanting to be rejected.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Avoiding people and avoiding conflict. Ken Sandy has a phenomenal book, if you haven't read it. It's called Blessed Are the Peacemakers. Peacemaker. And he says there's a difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Mm. A person who wants to keep the peace is a person who avoids conflict and tries to appease the people, whereas a peacemaker requires that you have to get in, you have to say, you have to speak. We as believers are called to be peacemakers, not keepers.
Mm-hmm.
You lie when you're, this is another one. You'll lie. You'll just cover up. I'm just not going to speak truth, you know, whatever. And then that happens in many circumstances. You just, and sometimes just, yeah. I can tell you from my life when I was a young 20-year-old, because of the circumstances I was in, because I was in an abusive relationship, I lied all the time to cover up what he was doing, trying to explain away why I would have black eyes or broken windshields or door broken, window broken in the house, hot wall, whatever. I lied all the time to cover everything up. I lied so much that I didn't trust myself when I spoke truth.
Mm.
And that's what happens when we're pleasing people.
Yeah.
The next one would be is that we struggle with peer pressure. And so it's that pressure because we're pleasing people. And then the last one would be self-esteem. Struggling with self-esteem, that allowing our esteem to be established because of what people say and what people do rather than allowing it to be defined by God. It's crazy. I can't believe we're already at the end of this session. So we want you to come back, and we're going to be looking at other aspects of what we need to do so that we can remove these masks and walk in truth. Because the truth sets you free. Mm. Scripture says Amen. The truth sets you free.
Amen.
Because the truth gives us that clear conscience. It allows us to be at peace with those around us. It allows us to be pure and interacting with people without any pretense or any illusion or any mask or any division because of the choices we have going on. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.